Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Today we're going to talk about an update on the civil forfeiture laws. I've done a couple videos now about civil asset forfeiture. I did one story simply describing it, how bad it was. And then I did another video where I was talking about how the fact that there's a case in front of the U.S. Supreme Court right now where they might rule on the issue of civil forfeiture, but they still probably won't outlaw it altogether, even if they do rule, because the case they're talking about is not quite the best case with respect to the concept. But civil asset forfeiture is the idea that if you encounter a police officer and he's doing an investigation or she's doing an investigation and they find cash on you or in your car or in your home, they can just take the cash and seize it. And even if you're not charged with a crime, they can just keep it. And they keep it under the theory that, well, we think that this money is somehow tainted because it's the product of criminal activity. And if you don't like that argument and you want your money back, you got to sue us to get it back. And I am still shocked, and I'm an attorney, and I'm shocked by the fact that this is still going on in America. It is highway robbery when it happens in the highway. Interestingly, a lot of people have never heard of it. It's getting more and more in the news now, which is good, because this is something that needs to be eliminated. But the scary part is I've actually had people commenting on my videos and say, Steve, you're making this stuff up. This can't possibly be going on. It's so crazy. You're either exaggerating it or you're inventing it. Or I had a guy actually say, he goes, Steve, I'm a police officer and never heard of it. Now, it's possible that he's trolling me, because there's no way a police officer in America has not heard of civil asset forfeiture. But a wonderful article is simply recently published by the Greenville News out of South Carolina. And Anna Lee and Nathaniel Carey and Mike Ellis, three reporters. This is the kind of work that Pulitzer Prizes are made for, okay? They did so much work on this and crunched so much data and statistics that, number one, it's a complete picture. Number two, it's extremely hard to question their methodology or what they've done. But the results are shocking. It's a very, very long story. I read it last night. Somebody had tweeted it to me, and I'm glad they did. It's getting a lot of attention, and I highly recommend that if this topic interests you at all, to read this, whether or not you're in South Carolina. I'm not in South Carolina, and I'm still amazed by this, because this is an interesting thing they've done. They actually went out and got all the data for a several-year period in South Carolina comprehensively from the entire state, and they then crunched the data, and this is what it shows. So the article is entitled Taken: How Police Departments Make Millions by Seizing Property, and they give some examples. A guy named Isaiah Kinlock, someone broke into his apartment and hit him over the head with a bottle. He called 911, and when the police arrived, they searched the home and they found an ounce of marijuana and $1,800 in cash, so they just kept the money. When Eamon Cools Lartigue was driving on I-85 in Spartanburg County, deputies stopped him for speeding. The Atlanta businessman wasn't criminally charged in the April 2016 incident, and deputies discovered that he had $29,000 on him. $29,000 on him. They took it. They just took it. When Brandy Cook dropped her friend off at a Myrtle Beach sports bar as a favor, drug enforcement agents swarmed her in the parking lot, and they found $4,670 in her car. Her friend was wanted in a drug distribution case, but Cook was not involved. She had no drugs, was never charged in the bust. Agents seized her money anyways. She was working as a waitress, carried her cash because she didn't have a checking account, and she spent more than a year trying to get her money back. And that's the amazing thing about these stories, is that they can encounter you, and they can arrest you, and they can take your money. Or they can encounter you and not arrest you and take your money. And they can also encounter you, arrest you, take your money, and decide not to prosecute you. Or they can decide to prosecute you. You can be found not guilty. They still keep your money. There's no logic to it other than the police just want your money. They just want your money. So they take your money. And basically what this winds up being is like just simply a tax on people who run into cops. And I did a video yesterday where I specifically said, look, I start every interaction I have with a police officer on the concept that the cop's trying to do his job or her job. And quite frankly, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But you understand that when you read stories like this, people say, but this is why I'm scared of cops. If I was in South Carolina, I'd be scared of them too. The Greenville News and Anderson Independent Mail newspapers examined these cases in every other court case. They looked at every single court case involving civil asset forfeiture in South Carolina from 2014 to 2016. This is the kind of hard-hitting, in-depth analysis that is so rare these days. The resulting investigation became what they called the Project Taken, a statewide journalism project with an exclusive database and in-depth reporting. It's the first time a comprehensive forfeiture investigation like this has been done for an entire U.S. state, according to experts, and I believe that's got to be true. Now, keep in mind, this doesn't happen in every state, and it doesn't happen at this scale in every state. But again, there's 50 states in America, this is one of them, and here's what's happening. So, Taken examined 3,200 forfeiture cases. They spoke to dozens of targeted citizens. They spoke to 50 experts and officials. And they made the point of contacting every single law enforcement agency in the state. So you can't accuse them of cherry picking. You can't say, well, they only did this one, but not that one. You can't say, hey, this is not fair. No one got their, you know, no one got this to counter this. No, they interviewed everybody. They interviewed everybody. And I read the article, and it seems to be extremely well balanced and well crafted. This investigative work of theirs yielded a clear picture of what is happening, okay? Police are systematically seizing cash and property. And keep in mind, it's not always money. They can take your other stuff, too, if they think they can make some kind of logical leap that, oh, all of this stuff of yours is somehow the result of criminal activity. But they've seized cash and property many times from people who aren't guilty of a crime, netting millions of dollars each year. South Carolina law enforcement profits from this policing tactic, and the bulk of the money ends up with South Carolina law enforcement. They're incentivized to do this. They are encouraged to do this. Anytime you tell somebody, it's up to you what you do with this stuff, but if you do something with it, it's yours. It's going to change how you think what you do with the stuff. So you tell a police officer in a police department, by the way, if you find any money that you can even remotely blame on criminal activity, or if you can even stretch the logic a bit, just take it, and then we get to spend it. Gee, I wonder how that abuse happens. So, this is crazy. Officers, believe it or not, actually gather and have little parties about this. Places like Spartanburg County for contests where they give out trophies to see who can make the largest or most seizures during highway stops. They earn hats, mementos, free dinners. These are door prizes, right? And agencies that participate take home a cut of the forfeiture proceeds. So they've actually, in a roundabout way, turned it into a game. They're playing a game, but it's a game where you lose and they win and they get your money. This is the craziest thing. The money adds up. Over 3 years, law enforcement agencies in South Carolina seized more than $17 million. $17 million. But here's the problem. When they got all their data in and they started doing all the demographic studies and the statistical slicing and dicing, they discovered some disturbing trends. Black men pay the price for this program. They represent 13% of South Carolina's population, and yet 65% of all citizens targeted for civil forfeiture in South Carolina are black men. The NAACP senior director said these types of civil asset forfeitures or sort of forfeiture practices are going to put a heavier burden on lower income people. And when you add in racial disparities around policing and traffic stops and arrest and prosecution, we know this is going to have a disproportionate effect on black communities. If you are white, according to their studies, you are twice as likely to get your money back. See, here's the thing. If they seize your money, there is a process whereby you can try to get your money back. You can go to court and you file a lawsuit, or when they file the action for the civil forfeiture, you can defend it, and you basically have to prove the money is yours, and you've got to prove that the money was earned legally, okay? And it's a pain, and it involves you going to court, and probably involves you hiring an attorney. Interestingly, if you are white, you are twice as likely to get your money back than if you're black. Nearly 1/5 of people who had their assets seized were not charged with a related crime. Out of more than 4,000 people hit with civil forfeiture over 3 years, 19% were never arrested. Never arrested. They may have left a police encounter without so much as a traffic ticket, but they left without their money. And again, I'm reading this directly from the story Taken, how police departments make millions by seizing property from the Greenville News. Anna Lee, Nathaniel Carey, and Mike Ellis did this, and it's an amazing amount of work they did. Roughly the same number, which is 800 people, were charged with a crime, but not convicted. So you have 800 who were just never charged, and 800 who weren't convicted. And so all of these people, you'd say, well, don't they get their money back? No, they just keep your money. They said, we don't care if you were found not guilty. We don't even care if we felt like filing charges against you. We're just going to keep your money. And this is so crazy. This is one of those things that, and again, I'm an attorney, and I find it crazy. But people who are not attorneys, it's kind of funny because they just immediately go, well, wait, they're stealing my stuff. That's wrong, isn't it? Yeah, I would think so. And then you go, well, wait, let's get all fancy here. Isn't this a violation of the Constitution? Well, yeah, that too. Because they're not supposed to be able to, you know, seize your property and take it from you without some kind of due process. And as I pointed out in previous videos, the Supreme Court has ruled that if they let you have a hearing about it, it's considered due process. I think the Supreme Court was wrong when they did that. They have a whole explanation as to how they did it and why, but I still think they're wrong. Now, they can correct themselves in the case of Tim's that's before them right now, but I don't think it's going to correct everything, even if they rule the way we want them to. But here's the thing. In some states, the suspicions behind a civil forfeiture must be proven beyond a reasonable doubt in court, but there is no requirement of proof in South Carolina. So when a forfeiture is contested, prosecutors only have to show a preponderance of evidence to keep seized goods. But here's the problem. It's more likely than not, but you still have to have a trial on it. And many people will say, wait, the cops seized $1,000 from me. I want my money back. And even if the state files a civil asset forfeiture action and asks you to defend it, you call up an attorney and say, hey, I'm fighting a civil asset forfeiture action. Can you help me? And the attorney's going to go, yeah. And the attorney's then going to say, and I need some money to get started on that. And you quickly realize that it's going to cost you more than it's worth to pursue, which is one of the reasons, and don't kid yourselves, it's one of the reasons that the cops are specifically lowering the amounts of money they'll take. It used to be that they find a suitcase full of money, they take that, obviously. And, you know, there's 10 pounds of cocaine and $500,000 in cash. It's probably related. But they pull you over for speeding, and they find $500 on you, and they take it. Okay. And again, it's never going to be financially or economically viable for you to chase that in court. It's going to cost more than $500 of your own time, if nothing else. So I mentioned earlier, it's not just money. Practically anything can be confiscated and sold at auction under the guise of civil asset forfeiture. They've taken jewelry, electronics, firearms, boats, RVs. In South Carolina, 95% of forfeiture revenue then goes back to law enforcement. And some of it is then given to the state's general fund. So the state benefits, but it's largely the police departments. So here's the thing. And again, they broke this down for us. Most of the money is not coming from kingpins or money laundering operations. It's coming from hundreds of encounters where police take smaller amounts of cash. Often when they find regular people with drugs for personal use, they'll then seize the money, even though this person's clearly not a dealer, they're a customer. More than 55% of the time when police seized cash, it was less than $1,000. More than half the time they took cash from somebody, it was less than $1,000. Your cash or property can disappear in minutes, but it will take you years to get it back because the average time between when the property is seized and when the prosecutor files for the forfeiture, average 304 days. Okay, so that means that they take your money on July 1st and on January 1st, and sometime in December, you get a notice going, oh, we've just started an action to take that, you know, to keep that money that we took from you back in January. We're going to keep the money that we've already kept for 304 days. There's a two-year period within which they've got to file that action, and they routinely blow it. They routinely miss it. So you're waiting for them to file the action. 2 years goes by, and they haven't filed it, and then they file it. But the thing is, it's illegal for them to wait past 2 years. They're supposed to give you your money back. But again, you're probably going to have to hire an attorney just to point that out. It's crazy. The entire burden of recovering property is on you, the person who had your stuff taken. And you must prove the goods belong to you and were obtained illegally. Since it's not a criminal case, no attorney is going to be provided to you. And citizens are just forced to kind of wing this and learn by doing, which is almost impossible. And oftentimes when the government files its case against your money or your property, you're given 30 days to file a lawful response. And if you don't, you lose. So the bulk of forfeited money finances law enforcement, but there's very little oversight of what is seized or how it's spent. Police used to pay for new guns, police use it to pay for guns, gear, training, and meals for food for their police dogs. But in one case, the Spartanburg County Sheriff's kept a pickup truck for the sheriff to use as his official vehicle, and they sold countless other items at auction, and then, of course, used that money. South Carolina lawmakers have tried getting bills crafted in recent General Assembly sessions that would limit or alter this, and they don't even make it out of committee, meaning that everybody in politics loves this because think about it. It's the greatest tax ever. You just pull somebody over and take their money, and it's cash. It's crazy. Interestingly, when they spoke to people in law enforcement and said, you know, we're doing a series on this and we think it's bad, a lot of law enforcement agencies actually say, well, if you take away our money, how will we operate? This is how we survive. One department earns 12% of their annual operating budget from cash and property seized under civil law. 12% of their operating budget. So that means that if civil forfeiture were to go away, they'd probably have a 12% shortfall because they probably spend every penny they bring in like most government agencies do. And so they've kind of become addicted to this flow of money that they steal from citizens. And by the way, this does, again, disproportionately hit black men. Black men carry the burden of South Carolina's civil forfeiture program. Almost two-thirds of people targeted by forfeiture are black males, according to the Taken investigation, and yet they represent just 13% of the general population. So it's disproportionate. And again, it goes over and over again. This is a problem. Nicole Porter, spokeswoman at the Sentencing Project, a reform advocacy group, said it just sort of reinforces the understanding we already knew that black residents disproportionately come in contact with law enforcement given the way criminal justice policy is oriented in this country. And then, of course, when you come into contact with them, they take your money. Explains that. And by the way, if you're black and driving in South Carolina, you are more likely to be stopped by police. In 24 states with available race data for traffic stops, South Carolina had the second highest rate of black motorists stopped by state troopers, according to a 2017 study by the Stanford Open Policing Project. And so, again, it's crazy, but it does seem to disproportionately be targeting black men. But again, if you get a chance, please read the article. I'll put the link in the description below. And the article is called Taken, How Police Departments Make Millions by Seizing Property. The more attention that's given to this problem and the more light that we shine on it, hopefully people in higher places will start looking at this going, hey, this is actually wrong. You can't just steal money from people and justify it later with some kind of nonsense. The article is written by Anna Lee, Nathaniel Carey, and Mike Ellis. I got to congratulate them on a fabulous article and doing a ton of hard work for this story. And I think civil asset forfeitures are one of the worst things in our current society. It's the one thing that I think if somebody says, Steve, pick one thing in the law that you can't explain to people. And that's one. I mean, I can explain to you how it works, but it's justification. Doesn't have one. So that's my opinion. Taken, how police departments make millions by seizing property. Questions or comments, always fire them below. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.